it's easy for us to obtain what God wants us to do. We come in, we get saved. We obtain salvation. But after you obtain salvation, you have to sustain salvation. Now, let me tell you what sustaining salvation is. After you obtain, you want to sustain it. That means you come and get some studying done. You come to Bible study. You read the Bible. You meditate on His Word. That's how you can sustain yourself. But many people, instead of sustaining, they abstain. They stop doing the things that they need to do to sustain themselves in the will of God. And they do it because they think that they have already attained what God has in store for us. Amen? Sometimes people have been around for a couple of weeks, a couple of years, and they think that they have already obtained what God has in store for us. And they stop sustaining themselves. There's many years that people think that they have attained what God has in store for us. And so they abstain from doing the things that God has told them and wanted them to do. Amen? But we have to take away our will and always sustain ourselves in the will of God. That's because when God's mind is made up for what He wants you to do, you can't change it because it is God's will for you. So now, your will can't change God's will for you. But He gives you a choice whether or not you want to be in His will. He gives you a choice. He's already designated things for you to do. But you have a choice whether you want to do that or not. So the scripture this morning comes from Genesis 17, 1 to 8, and then again from Romans 4, 13 to 25. It reads, Genesis 17, 1 to 8 reads as thus, King James Version. And when Abram was 90 years old now and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the God, Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. And I will be their God. And when we get to Romans 4, 13 to 25, it says, For the promise that he should be the heir of the world, and not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if there which are of the law be heirs, faith be made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickened the dead, and calleth all things which be not as though they were, who against hope, believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. So shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through disbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus Christ, that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Now there once was a man named Terah whose wife gave birth to a son, and they named his son Abram. For that time and that place, that was a perfectly good name. You see, there were other names that Terah could have chosen for his son, but more than likely he gave it a lot of thought and settled on the name Abram. As many fathers would, Terah had high hopes for his son because the name Abram means exalted father. By all accounts, Abram was perfectly content to be named Abram. And he carried that name for 99 years. He looked like Abram. He acted like Abram. He talked like Abram. But if there was one thing he was not perfectly satisfied with, was the meaning of his name. Because his name meant exalted father. And we know that Abram was not a father. Him and his wife Sarai were childless. So when God introduces himself to Abram, Abram was already 75 years old. So when God speaks to him and he tells him that to leave the land of his father, Terah, and tells him to start traveling, wherever God leads, that's where Abram and Sarai were to go. They were able to be available wherever there was water and grass, it would take them there. They were able to go wherever they found hospitality. Abram became a nomad because that is what God demanded of him. But surely there was another reason. Here's a man 75 years old, and God tells him to leave the place that he grew up. Leave the land of your fathers and go. He didn't say when you get there, go to this hotel. He didn't go check in with this person. They're going to take care of you. He said, go. So I'm wondering myself, how could a man of 75 understand what God is saying to him when he says, I'm going to make you a father of many nations? How can he make him a father of many nations when him and his wife are childless? But God made a promise to him. He made a covenant with Abraham. Amen? God is still in the covenant business. He makes a covenant between me and you. So here's what he's saying to Abraham. I'm making a covenant, and it's between thee and me. It has nothing to do with Sarai. It has to do with him and God. I'm preaching this morning because when God has something for you to do and he gives you a covenant, it's between he and you. Too many times we're getting pulled apart by other significant others and other people who want to tell us what to do. But when you meet God on that day, he's not going to ask you to pull up your partner or who you listen to. He wants you to know that he's the one giving the orders. Too many times people are given so many orders that God's will is not being done. Not just in your life, but my life too. So we need to make sure who we getting our marching orders from. Nowhere in the Bible do I hear Sarai asking Abram, are you sure this is what God wants you to do? I don't hear Sarai saying to him, what God didn't tell me. Because the Bible says that the covenant was between Abram and God. Sometimes the people right next to you don't understand what God is telling you to do. But that covenant is between you and he. In order for this to happen, Abram had to have a personal relationship with God. We have to have a personal relationship with God so he can talk to you and not us. I'd like to know that in my personal relationship with God, that he can tell me anything. And not that he has to tell somebody else to tell me what God told them to tell me. Abram and Sarai lived out of a tent for the next 24 years. I wonder how many of us would go live out of a tent because God said to go. Surely after a couple of weeks, a couple of months, in a year, oh my Lord, they're going to tell you, you must have got this confused. Are you sure it was God talking to you or somebody else talking to you? So after that, 99 years old, the Lord appears to him again. The scripture kind of says he speaks to him when he was older. When he was younger, at 75, he told him to go. Now he's older, he's promising him this covenant. Now God made this covenant because Abraham was faithful to him. Sometimes it takes a while for God to do things for you, but you have to show your faithfulness. Faithfulness don't always mean, well, I'm coming to church today and I'm being faithful, so I expect God to do something for me. Faithfulness takes a long time. And that's what's wrong with things today. People don't take time to let God do what he has to do. You can look at all the relationships that people are having, all the things going on. We don't like to take time. It's instant gratification. You press a button, bang, you expect the answer. Well, God just don't work that way. He has his own time. Our time, maybe he blinked the eye and 2 years have gone by. I don't know. But that's his time. God says to him, he's making this covenant. But when Abram hears the voice of the Lord, who identifies himself as El Shaddai, he doesn't say, this is God. He says, I'm El Shaddai. El Shaddai, I'm the almighty God. I'm the one that can make things happen because I said it's going to happen. See, when Abraham heard that, he fell down on his feet. He fell down on his face. God is so awesome and so powerful. Who are we to look at him? Do other people. You know, sometimes when somebody makes you a promise, and it's years, months, weeks, hours, and they don't necessarily keep it, we put a face on. If you don't, I do. If you make a promise to me and you don't keep your promise, oh, you're going to get the boom face. That's right, the boom face. I got it. My sister got it. My daughter's got it. My son's got it. And when people ask them, what's that face? They tell them, oh, but I got that from my father. See, Abram, when his father spoke to him, he didn't give him no face. He fell down on his face. When God talks to you, you need to get down on your face. He falls on his face in reverence. So now, after 99 years, El Shaddai says to him, no longer shall your name be Abram. How would you feel if somebody walked up to you and said, no longer is your name Thomas. No longer is your name Rick. No longer is your name Joseph. I wouldn't accept that. Would you accept that? You'll look around and say, I've been called this 99 years and I don't expect to change it now. Amen? It's like somebody calling you out of your name. So God, El Shaddai, called them out of his name. Did Abram complain? No. And we get used to names, don't we? Am I talking to somebody here today? We get used to names, don't we? When somebody calls you out of your name at work, don't you turn around and look at them like, they know my name. Why are they calling me that? Amen? So we get used to a name. God changed his name. Amen? Now I'm going to give you a little secret here. If you want to upset somebody, call them outside of their name when you know their name. Amen? I know because I did it. Many years ago, my boss upset me so much. I know his name was Bob. I started calling him Earl. And every time I seen him, I looked in his face and I called him Earl. And I could see him looking at me like, why is he calling me Earl? He knows my name. But I called him Earl because it was a sign of disrespect, because he didn't respect me. So you want to get to somebody, call them outside of their name. But when God changed Abram's name to Abraham, there was a reason for it. And if God changes your name, there's a reason for it. Amen? I could see Abram saying, I like that name. My daddy gave me that name. I know I haven't lived up to what that name means, but it's still my name. You see, the name means exalted father, and he wasn't. But God says, your name will be Abraham. So now at 99, his name is changed to Abraham. But when you get to the end of Abraham's story, he's 175 years old. He had plenty of time to get used to the name Abraham. Amen? But there was something else that happened that I want to bring to your attention. Amen? Right before God, if you look in the Bible, right before God says, I'm going to make you father of many generations, Abraham had a little discretion. He had a son outside of his marriage. He didn't wait for what God had promised him. So from the time he was 86 to 99, 100, he had to wait for God to fulfill his promise. I'm saying that because sometimes we are very disobedient to God. And he has made a promise to you, and you didn't wait for the promise. So because of your disobedience, because God's not going to promise something that he's not going to do. Amen? Amen? Can I get a live church? Amen? I said God is not going to promise something that he's not going to do. And just because of your disobedience, he's still a man of his words. So 13, 14 years later, he fulfilled the promise. I'm here to say this morning that there are things that you'll do. God will promise you some things, but you will be disobedient, impatient, and do what you want to do. And you're going to have to wait because you did it in your will and not his. Think about it. More than half his life, here he was as Abraham. Now God gave him another name, Abraham. When God changes things, you better leave it alone. You don't see in the Bible no more somebody slipping in Abram. He was always Abraham after that. Amen? When God changes something for you, you better grow with it. Stay with it. When God changes something, don't you know that the anointing is on what he changes? Sometimes we pray for the anointing if we just wait. Just wait. The anointing's going to come. The blessings are going to be on it. But we're just so impatient. Abraham had his name changed, and that's the way God wanted it, and that's the way it was. And because we're not perfect people, I wonder how many times Sarai turned around and called Abraham, Abram. She probably said, Abram, and he wouldn't answer because that's not his name. She said, Abram. He turned the other way because it's not his name. I'm saying that because when God changes your circumstance and God changes your name and God changes things for you, they're going to call you by your old name. You can't react to it. You got to act like you don't know who they're talking about because that person's got to be dead. That person's got to be gone. That person's got to be gone. The sea of forgetfulness. Don't you know when you go back in your old neighborhood, they want to call you by that old name because they expect you to react the same old way. When God changes something, let it be changed. We say amen. That means so be it. Amen? So be it. Sarah, she got her name changed too, from Sarah to Sarah. Let me tell you something. When God does something, he don't just do it for you. He do it for your partner too. When he blesses the husband, he blesses the wife. Amen? Sometimes he knows that that partner that he gave you can be just as disobedient as you. Disobedience with disobedience don't mean obedience. Two wrongs don't make a right. She knew Abram wanted a son. And she said, go ahead, do it. Sometimes your partner tell you something wrong. Don't go ahead and do it. Sometimes it'll cause you to abstain, to sustain. Because you know when you don't listen to your partner, there's abstinence involved sometimes. I know some of y'all didn't get it, but you get it later. It's hard when God changes your name. It's hard when we get older and God does something. Amen? It don't have to be God. It could be time. I remember as Bishop was getting older, he didn't remember my name. He called me Moses or William. He called me Warren, and then he finally got to Philip. But I knew he was calling me. You know when God is calling you. You know when he's doing something in your life. You know when he wants you to change something. You know when he wants you to turn the page on something. You never get to the end of the book if you keep reading that same book. You never get to the next chapter because you want to keep reading that same story over and over again. Hallelujah. God has a novel for you to read. You still want to read The Little Engine That Could. Because it's easy. You get used to somebody calling your names. But now God changed things in midstream. That's to say that here's a simple thing, but it was hard. Amen? God does simple things, and it's hard for us to get used to what God is wanting us to do. Amen? But there's simple things. Hallelujah. Not only does God make some things simple, but when they're simple, he has strong demands on it. So I need you, if you got a pen, write this down. If you got a good memory, remember this. Life with God in charge doesn't necessarily get any easier or simpler. In fact, it's the other way around. Hallelujah. Life with God in charge doesn't necessarily get any easier or simpler. In fact, it's usually the other way around. Do you imagine that 99-year-old Abraham running around talking to people, got tongue-tied a few times when speaking? Do you understand that God has this thing about making a tangible way of sealing the deal with Abraham? You see, if Abraham go around telling people that his name is no longer, don't call me Abram, they wouldn't have understood that God did something different in his life. Amen? If you don't tell those people that you're changed and don't call you by that name, they don't understand that there's something different in your life. My oldest son, his name is Philip Jr. Sister Foreman met him when we went to Tennessee. We called him PJ all his life. But there was a certain point in time, he looked at me. I said, PJ, do this. A PJ. He said, don't call me PJ. And I'm wondering, well, what changed? It wasn't visible to me, but something changed in his nature. He didn't want to be PJ. No more. He wanted to be called Phil. Why? Because I wasn't with him. So while he was out there, they was using my nickname for him and using it for something else. So that's why he didn't want to be called that no more. So what changed wasn't something that I could see. It wasn't something that I could hear. But it was something that I needed to respect. Nobody's going to respect you when you say you changed and you're still in the same circles, doing the same things, being called by the same name. This covenant that God made with Abraham, he made it with him. He didn't make it with nobody else. He didn't make it with his brother. He made it with Abraham alone. And let's see how God symbolized that. God changed his name. But he didn't just do that to Abraham. Jacob became Israel. Peter became the rock. Saul became Paul. God just has this thing about changing names. The obvious question is why? Why? Well, let's look at this. God changed the name as an opportunity to let Abraham know how serious he is about all of this. As strange as it might seem, by changing his name from Abram to Abraham, God was simply adding a breathing sound so that he goes from Abram to Abram. He wasn't just going to be the exalted father. He was going to be the father of many. Abraham. He breathed life into his name. He added the spirit to his name. Abraham. No longer would Abraham just be a father. Sometimes, you know, we come to church. Now I'm going to hit home a little bit. We come to church and we're supposed to be brothers and sisters, right? That means that we family, right? Yeah. So when you see somebody doing something wrong, shouldn't you be pulling your brother or your sister's coattail? But what about their children? So I'm your brother in Christ, and you see my son doing something, you're going to talk about him instead of. Because you want to have something to talk about over the table? Not only that, it ain't always bad. What about when they do something good? Why don't you congratulate them? Why don't you encourage them? Why don't you say, listen, I know that you're doing a really good job and you're really trying hard. You know what? I just feel like blessing you. Here's $20 towards them sneakers. If your niece or your nephew asked you for something, would you do it? Wait, we brothers and sisters in Christ. You're supposed to treat mine like you treat yours. But because we don't do that, that's where division come in. See, the devil will use anything he could use to create a space. Because it ain't all bad. There's a lot of good in there. God was making a covenant with this old man and changing his name to seal a deal. You see, when God got his mind made up, and when he makes it up, there's no room for bargaining. Why you want to try to bargain with God? You're going to lose. You can't bargain with God. You can't bargain with God. He's not a store. Amen? Even if God finds us unwilling to do what he wants us to do, he has a lot of patience. He'll outwait you. He'll outwait you. I don't know if you've ever been involved in litigation, but the object of litigation for the team with all of the money and all of the power against little old you is to outwait you until you're ready to give in. I think that's a biblical theory, because God will outwait you until, because he has all the power, he has all the glory, and he will outwait you until you're ready to give in. To your dying day, he will outwait you until you're ready to give in. And if you don't give in, that's your fault. Remember the three on the cross. One gave in, and one didn't. In the midst of Jesus. One made a mockery, and one took a chance on Christ. I'm telling you today, you need to take a chance on Christ. God will wait as long as it takes for us to come around. He won't coerce us. He won't force us. He won't do anything out of our free will. But know that if he wants to, he can. He can do anything he wants to do. But see, what God wants us to do is get on board and make a covenant with him. There's nothing like being a partner. He wants you to make a covenant with him. He wants you to say, Lord, I will, and stick to it. Amen? You see, Abraham, even though he had that discretion, he left his native land and did it without any promises from God. He didn't know that he'd never live in a home again. He didn't know that his tent would always be his shelter from now on. Second, God changed his name. And if you think, let me tell you, when God did that, you know, have you ever laughed at something that somebody, God made a promise, and then you start thinking, ain't never going to happen. Have you ever had somebody do that to you? Have you ever did it to God? God promised you something, and even though your vision, I'm talking about your vision, you can't see it, but God promise. And as time goes on and on and on, and you start saying, that ain't never going to happen. I don't even know why I believe in this stuff. It ain't never going to happen. Never. I can see God talking to Abraham. And Abraham is saying, no, God is going to do what he said he's going to do. And all his friends were rolling in the dust. They were laughing so hard, all the dirt and the sand were getting into their voice. Hallelujah. I don't know what you did, but you better undo it. All of that stuff started happening. People started laughing. You know, can you imagine Abraham walking and saying, there's going to be nations. Look up in the star, in the sky. Look at all of them stars. I'm going to have so many descendants. And they're saying, oh, man, get away from me. You're delirious. God is promising you something. And people saying you're delirious. But you hold on to God's unchanging hands. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. When God tells you something, he's serious about it. When God tells you something, God has his mind made up and the deal is done. Hallelujah. And I want to say this. You know, Abraham is in the beginning of the book of the Bible. That lets you know that God was just beginning to give out blessings. I want you to know there's a whole book of blessings that's inside of that book that God has done. And he's still in the blessing business. This book right here, God is still doing what that book said that he would do. God continues to make covenant with his people, with you and me. Believe this, Saul, wait a minute, I mean Paul, there's another one. He changed the name. Amen? And right in Romans, he says, God had that covenant between Abraham and himself, not for Abraham's sake, but for our sake. He didn't do that for Abraham, he did it for us. He wanted you to know today that when he makes a covenant with you, he's going to keep it, no matter how long it takes. He wanted you to know today that when he promised you something, that he's going to deliver. Because there's nothing that can stop him from delivering on his promises. I want to know today, do you believe it? Paul says, it will be reckoned to us, we who believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. Physical circumstances have changed since the time of Abraham. We don't have to go live in tents. Thank God. Can I get somebody to say thank God? We don't have to live in tents. Thank God. We don't have to live in tents. We don't have to go hunt for food. It's right there for us, right? We have clothes to wear, don't we? We have roofs over our heads, right? We don't have to walk. We can take a car, a train, a plane. A boat. Thank God. We don't have to wait to 75 years old for somebody to promise us a seed, right? Thank God. We don't have to look for the next source of water. Thank God. Because we know that life is a journey. But when God makes up his mind, he does what he wants to do when he wants us to do it, when he wants to do it. The only question is whether we will be willing to do what God asks of us. And when God asks you something, sometimes it makes you a little nervous, some trepidation, some uneasy feeling. Amen? That's a good thing. Amen? It's a good thing. You want me to break it down? I'm going to do it a nice way, and I'm going to do it a hard way. Amen? If you've ever been in the service and anywhere that's not, you're not used to, you have a fear. Even though it's supposed to be good for you, you have a fear of what the unexpected is going to be. Amen? And that's a good thing because it shows that you have respect and reverence for where you are going to go. Amen? That's the nice one. Or did everybody understand what I'm saying? I don't have to do the other one. Do you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes we do things without fear and without respect for what it is. Just making sure there's not too many young people in here, and that there should be young people in here. But let me tell you something. In the beginning of the Bible, God said to Eve that when you bear children, that you're going to have pain. And he said that because you're going to have respect for this childbearing things. You know, there's a lot of people walking around that don't have respect for childbearing until they get in that room and things start happening. That's when the respect start coming in for what you've done. But see, if we listen to the Lord, we don't have to get to certain points in our life. If we would just have reverence and respect for what God is saying, each and every day, there's certain pains and growing pains that we don't have to go through. Now, that is a very extreme example, but it is something that I take note of. I take note of it because 3 out of my 4 children, I was in the room. And it's no easy thing. And I just don't understand why people just go and do it like it's just like going to the store. It's not. I don't understand how people do it like it's just the thing to do. It's not. There's a certain respect and reverence that God gave to that process. Amen? So when God tells us to have respect to processes, we need to have respect to processes. So when God tells us to do something, there's a respect that goes along with what God says. There's a humbleness that goes along with what God says. Now in Isaiah 55, 3, 6 through 11, Isaiah 55 and 3 says, "Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Even the sure mercies of David." He says, "Open up your ears and come unto me." He said, "Hear and your soul shall be saved." He says, "I will make an everlasting covenant with you. If you hear the word of the Lord and you abide by the word of the Lord," he wants to make a covenant with you. When God makes a covenant with you, nobody can break it but you. Remember, it's a one-on-one relationship that you have with him. Now, in verses 6 through 11, he says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and let the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." It says that no matter what you've done in your ways and your thoughts, if you return to the Lord, he will have mercy on you. And it says abundantly. Abundantly is a lot of pardons. Somebody can forgive you of one thing and not forgive you of another. Come on, somebody. Somebody will say, "I forgive you of the 3 things you did, but the other 10 I ain't forgetting." But God forgets everything. Everything. God gets over it. He puts the way back. Because furthermore, he says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, said the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not neither, but watereth the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater." But this is the scripture that I really wanted to get to. so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing where I sent it. So wherever God sends you, if you're in his will, it's going to prosper. If you go where God didn't send you, don't expect for it to prosper. He says, when I say something, it don't come back to me. It ain't a boomerang. It don't come back void. When I look at my word and I see it, my word did what I said it was going to do. We got to stop doing what we want to do and do what God wants to do. Do what God tells you to do. Because we got to understand that God is sovereign. That the promise is that God's word will accomplish whatever it wants to. Let me say this. In the beginning was the word. So who's the word? Jesus is the word. And he sent his son to do exactly what he sent him to do. And his son accomplished everything that he needed to do. So when he did that, oh my God, when he did that, it was all over. It's all over for the enemy. It's all over for every demonic spirit. It's all over for every negative emotion. It's all gone for every debilitating disease. It's all over because he did what he was supposed to do. When I give my word, it will accomplish everything that I wanted to do. When he gave his word, the word overcame death. Everything. It did what it was supposed to do. So when you're in God's will and you follow his word, you'll be able to accomplish whatever God has for you to do. You won't be lying there dead saying, I didn't finish what I wanted to do. No, what God wanted you to do. God's will is sovereign over everything. Hallelujah. God is not a drive-through drugstore. Don't just call God when you're in the emergency room and you need someplace to stand. God is not just a temporary fix in an urgent situation. God is not a fast way for everybody to forgive us. God is on our good side, even when we want him and need him to rescue us. Amen? God can fulfill every emotional, spiritual, mental, and physical poundage of you. He can do that 60 seconds a minute, 60 minutes an hour, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, 365 days a year for how many years you have. We got to make up our minds. See, God already has in his mind his will for you. Hallelujah. He has in his mind his will for you because he created you with a purpose. Come on, somebody. He created you with a purpose. When people commit suicide, you know what? They're depressed. They don't know what they're all about. They don't understand their purpose. They think they have no purpose. They think that they have no use. But everybody that God has created, he had a use and a purpose for you in the mighty name of Jesus. But we got to make up our mind. You see, the ground that we stand on is only as firm as your mind is in Christ. If you have a shaky relationship with Christ, you're standing on shaky ground. We got to understand that God is not a temporary place, but he's a firm place. Amen? God gives us the rock to stand on, but we have to decide if we're going to get on that rock and stand there and watch the waves go rolling by. Oh, hallelujah, the storms of life. We're gonna stand up on that rock and watch all of those things happen, because he is my rock and my fortress. In him, he are in the rock when the storms start coming by, when the winds start blowing. This is the same God, the same God. When the winds and the wave was blowing, he said, peace, be still. He hasn't changed. It's the same God. When the storms in your life are going by, he'll say, peace, be still. And sometimes we go through so many things. And I want to tell you today, you go through storms in your life. And if you don't recognize the storm, you'll never be able to get to the other side. You'll never be able to get there, because you're thinking this is it. And God is saying, no, it ain't. It's just a little storm. Just a little something you need to go through to perfect you where I want you to be, so you can be the witness that I want you to be, so you can minister to a certain type of people. It's just a storm. Hallelujah. That word firm, hallelujah. Psalm 78 puts it this way. Psalm 78 speaks of a generation who would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. That we would not be like our forefathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, whose hearts are not loyal to God's, whose spirits were not faithful to him. God wants us to be better than that. This generation has to be better than that. Hallelujah. You know why? Because our young people and people outside of the realm of God's will look at us and say, they ain't faithful, they ain't loyal. They don't do what God tells them to do. They're not in God's will. And if that's God's will, I don't need to be in that to be going through all of this. But when you go in the hospital, you have the faith and understand that God is going to see you through. And if not, so be it, because it's in his will and in his way. That's what the old apostles and the disciples had that we need to come back to. That word. So if I don't have a car, so be it. If I don't have a house, so be it. If my health is a little bad, so be it. Hallelujah. Sometimes when you're laying in the hospital, it's the person next to you that needs to be witnesses to. That's why God placed you in that position, so you can witness to that one next to you. You don't know God's will. His ways are more than our ways. You have to seek his face. Constantly seeking his face to understand, God, what is it you want me to do? God, what is it you want me to say? God, where do you want me to be? And when he goes and he tells you, you better have reverence for that word, for what he's planted in you. Hallelujah. Just water it. It'll grow. Just water it. It'll grow. Just water it. It'll grow. Sometimes things got to burn down in order for it to grow. Talked about this tree they have in California. Tall tree. I can't think of how tall it is. But you know what? Those trees have to burn down, because when it burns down, it opens up the pines, the seeds in the pines, for new trees to grow. Hallelujah. Sometimes God's got to burn down your situation in order for you to grow. Don't blame it on the devil all the time. Sometimes he's got to burn things down in your life for you to grow, for you to be what he wants you to be, for you to see that you need him and nobody else. You see, Jesus knew this, which is why he was able to say on the night that he was going to be arrested, while on his knees, he said, not my will, but thy will be done. Let us stand this morning.